I'm going to start letting people in.
Cool.
Hey everyone, welcome to CCC. Welcome to our 4 o'clock service this evening. I hope you've all had a good week despite our current circumstances, but it's great to have you all here gathered to worship our God together. My name's Ed and I'll be leading us through service today. If you're joining us and you are also new or visiting, we'd love to give you a huge warm welcome to you. Here at CCC, we seek to be one community growing in Christ, serving in love and reaching the world. So it's great that you could join us today and see what we're all about. And if you are new today, there's a welcome form that we'd love to have you fill in. There's a link in the chat room right now and also a QR code on the screen. We'd love to get to know you better, connect you to our community here. So please do fill that form out. For everyone else, during the time of this service, let me remind you all to keep your microphones muted, use separate devices where possible for breakout room discussions later. And let me encourage you to turn your video feeds in the spirit of being more virtually present with one another as a community, despite us being physically separate. And it's so good to see a lot of your faces right now. Well, friends, we come together as a community to worship God and to encourage one another in love and fellowship. And we'll be hearing more about that later on in this evening's message. But for now, we're going to worship our God in song together, and Mika and Bianca are going to lead us in that.
Hey everyone, great to be worshiping with you all today from our respective homes. Please join us in song as we sing Take My Life. they'll be leading us in prayer now.
Thanks, Band. Hey, everyone. I'm Annabelle, and today I'll be leading us in prayer. As Christians, we have a personal relationship with God. And so just like in any relationship, two-way communication is important. And so God communicates to us through his word, the Bible, and we respond and communicate to God through prayer. And this is the awesome privilege that we have. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you, Lord, are worthy of all our praise. For you are the magnificent creator, putting everything in its place, even from before the world began. We thank you that you are a good and loving God, and that even though we were so undeserving, you were so gracious in sending your son Jesus to die for us, so that we could be made clean, have the hope of eternal life, salvation, and enter into a personal and intimate relationship with you. For those of us who may have heard this truth for the millionth time, or for those who are still learning and understanding this, help us, Lord, to truly grasp and understand this amazing gift you have so freely given us. As we have been learning from the book of Galatians, we praise you, Lord, that you are abundantly generous with giving us all things through Christ. Thank you that we do not have to do anything to gain merit or favor in your eyes, but you love us even when we do not deserve it. Despite the busyness of our lives, the crazy ups and downs of our emotions and life's distractions, we ask that you help us cling fast to this gospel, and that we will not be swayed by false idols and teachings. Lord, we ask that with this gospel of grace that we have so freely received, you would help us to not sit idle. Remind us, God, that this gospel is for everyone. And with Evangelism Sunday coming up next week, we pray that we will be emboldened to invite those in our lives who need to hear your gospel. Help us to speak your truth, even if our voices shake. Lord, you are the God of compassion and comfort, and so we now pray for the COVID situation that has affected us and the world. With Sydney currently in lockdown, many of us may be feeling restless, anxious, or have Zoom fatigue, but we pray, Lord, that you sustain us and provide comfort to those in need in these coming 2 weeks. Help us, Lord, to know how to be kind to ourselves and to cast all our anxieties on you and find deep comfort in you in these trying times. We thank you that in Christ we have a community of brothers and sisters. And so we pray that you'd help us as a 4 p.m. community to be people who think of others, checking up on those who may be finding it tough or lending an ear to listen. We turn our hearts to the world and pray particularly for Indonesia and the COVID crisis that continues to worsen. We're so saddened by the news that Indonesia's health system has been smashed by a Delta outbreak from COVID-19 and patients are being turned away from hospitals. Although new records of over 50,000 daily cases were hit this week, we ask that you would bring healing and comfort to Indonesia. We also pray for the practical provision of supplies such as oxygen and vaccines. We also want to pray for the South African riots that have brought havoc after protests broke out in response to the imprisonment of former South African President Jacob Zuma. Law enforcement remains heavily outnumbered to the rioters, and many areas have lost power with food and water supplies depleting rapidly. Lord, we ask that you comfort, heal, and provide for those in South Africa. We pray for peace and stability as the government and law enforcement authorities try to navigate the crisis. And we pray that aid can be delivered to the most vulnerable people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can still gather as your church and people together online. We pray for Ying as he wraps up our series in Galatians. Lord, through the Spirit, help him to speak truthfully and faithfully. Please help us to shake off any distractions and open our hearts and minds to understand and focus on your word tonight. We pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Ed.
Thanks for leading us in prayer, Annabelle. We're going to continue our worship to God by reading and listening to his word. And as Annabelle prayed, this week marks our last week in the series of Galatians, Grace or Nothing. We're reading the whole of Galatians 6. Let me encourage you to grab your Bibles to follow along now as well as during the sermon. But as we read together now, it's also going to be on the screen. Galatians chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Reverend Ying's now going to preach from this passage.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone, and a very special welcome to Zoom, CCC Zoom at 4 p.m. And if you're here for the very first time, my name's Ying, I'm the English pastor, along with Dan and Winston, so we have the great privilege of serving here at CCC. But CCC is a church that I love. It's a church I value. I've been coming to this church for many, many decades, and it's a church that I would like other people to come to as well and to enjoy what I enjoy at CCC. But the truth be told, that it's not how many people feel. I remember speaking to one of my family relatives, inviting them, why don't you come to CCC one day? And she gave me a very glazed, immediate response and say, why would I want to waste my time coming to church on a Sunday morning when I can sleep in, when I don't have to battle with parking, when I don't have to sit through endless drones of sermons and things like that? And I can get what she feels, and I'm sure that a lot of people think that way and feel that way about church. When you think about church, what comes into our mind? What is it that comes into our minds when we think about church? Well, I'm sure we think about the sort of buildings. We think about the decoration, no doubt. We think about sort of symbols that are there before us. We think about the sort of rituals, interesting rituals. They might be something you might watch on television or thriller movies or mysterious movies, but something to sit through is not our cup. But whatever the case, what's interesting is that when you ask people what they think about church, they tend to think that this is what Christianity is all about, these buildings, these rituals, these symbols, these whatever. But the truth be told is that interesting as they might be interesting, they actually do not represent the substance, the very heart of what Christianity is all about. You see, the danger we find, the danger experience is the danger sometimes. Now, I've got a message. How am I coming across? I'm a bit sort of thing. Am I okay? Just give me a chat thing. I can't see anyone. Is it okay? Yes. The danger we find with people these days or with the history of Christianity, is that over time, a lot of things have been added to the very foundations of what the Christian faith is all about. So much so that we begin to think that Christianity is represented by all these other things, such as the symbols and the buildings and the rituals and so on like that. In many ways, it's very much like what we see in many with barnacles on the hull of a ship. As you know, the boat's in the water long enough, over time accumulates these barnacles, and the barnacles affects the speed, the maneuverability of the boat. And so over time, what's necessary is a regular maintenance and strip it away so that the hull can be nice and clean and get back to top speed, so to speak. When you come to the letter to Galatians, in many ways, the letter to Galatians is clearing the deck of all the barnacles. It takes us back to what the heart of what the Christian message is all about. And that's what we've been going through in the letter to Galatians. And what does it say? Really, the letter to Galatians reminds us this is what the heart of the Christian message is about. It's about grace. It's about God's kindness to us. It's about the cross, the supreme demonstration of God's grace and God's love. And it's also about the transforming work of the Spirit, which comes as a result of the death of Jesus. So the letter of the Galatians summed up in those three words: grace, cross, and transformation. And so, and that also reveals to us what the heart of the Christian message is all about. And you learned last week then that not only we have seen the grace and the cross and the transforming work of the Spirit, we see that transformation so clearly demonstrated in transformed lives summarized in the fruit of the Spirit. That is the transforming work of the Spirit. It's seeking to bear His fruit in our lives. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Well, the fruit of the Spirit can be seen in the what we see here in Galatians chapter 5. It is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things come as a result of the grace of God through the cross of Christ, through the power of the Spirit working in us. Now, it needs to be said here that when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we need to remember this is the fruit of the Spirit, not our fruit. In other words, there's a danger that when I've heard this said so many times in the past, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we talk about how something that this is what we have to bear fruit in. Well, yes and no. This is what we want to see in ourselves, but this is the work of the Spirit in our life. It's the transforming work of the Spirit in our lives. Well, that being said, what does it look like on the ground? It's easy to think of the fruit of the Spirit in terms of very romantic, sentimental, sort of wishy-washy stuff. But how does this translate into practice? And that's where Galatians chapter 6 comes to its own. It shows to us the fruit of the Spirit in operation. It shows us the transforming work of the Spirit as it basically goes to work in the life of the Christian and in the life of the church. And so let's have a look at what chapter 6. And the three things that I want to actually focus on when we come to chapter 6. Three points. The first major point is the chapter 6. It's all about caring for others. It's all about caring for others. The bulk of the sermon will be focused on that. The second point is about the cross of Christ as Paul wraps up. And the third thing I want to talk about is about the transformed lives. So let's have a look at each and every one of them. But as I said, the bulk of it will be the first one. It's all about caring for others. And when Paul talks about caring for others, he breaks it down into three sorts of areas. It's about restoring the sinner with gentleness and humility. Secondly, it's about sharing all good things with your teachers. Thirdly, it's about joyful persistence in doing good. Three simple truths. Three simple truths. Well, let's have a look at what Paul has to say about that. Restoring the sinner with gentleness and humility. Look at what Paul says here in chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Notice what Paul says here. If someone is caught in the sin, he's not simply talking about the fact that we all sin, but he's talking about particularly those people actually are caught in a particular sin and they don't even know it. They could be caught in pornography. They could be caught in sort of adultery. They could be caught in sort of a work addiction or whatever. But if someone is caught in a sin, what are we to do? How do we deal with it? Well, there's two problems that we often experience here when we talk about people who are caught in sin. One, we very quickly brush it aside and think it's not a serious matter. And the difficulty there is that that sin which is not dealt with and allowed to perpetuate in the person's life will in the end bring about their own destruction and ruin and can also destroy the church. That's something which we have to avoid doing. That is brushing aside sin that in which the person is engaged in. The second danger we fall into is being very quick to identify, in some so that we are quick to condemn, quick to criticize, quick to put down, or even to exclude people. What does Paul tell us to do, rather? He tells us, if someone's caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. The goal of actually helping, dealing with persons, people caught in sin, the goal is always to restore them, to lift them up, to build them up, to bring them back to the truth and bring them back to life. I still remember many years ago when I was speaking to Eugene Hall, who's the senior English lead pastor at Grace Point. He made a very poignant comment that churches are often very good in disciplining leaders who fall into moral sin. Where they fail in is knowing how to restore people. And I think Eugene's quite right there. We can actually identify the sins of people. And a lot of times we can be very quick to condemn them, very quick to criticize, put them down and to discipline them. But what we are not good is restoring them. And restoration really should always be the goal of all that we do when we deal with a person caught in sin. In many ways, that reflects the very heart of the gospel, isn't it? Because the gospel is about Jesus coming not to condemn, but to save, to restore us, to reconcile us to God. And you remember the case in 1 Corinthians where Paul really calls out a man who's actually sleeping with his stepmother and the church just brushed it aside. And Paul says, you can't do that. You've got to deal with it. Well, they take Paul's advice. They deal with it. And then Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the second follow-up letter, now the person who repented, make sure that you actually restore him so that he's not overwhelmed by his grief. Restore him quickly. That's what we need to be doing. If someone is caught in sin, we have responsibility to restore that person. But notice what Paul says. He says to do it with gentleness. Firstly, a lot of times we can be very harsh with people. But he says, no, we need to be gentle with the person. But not only to be gentle, there is a second thing, the way we approach it, and that is with caution and with humility. Notice what Paul says. Watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Watch yourself or you also may be tempted. I think one of the sad things about the recent news and something about the pixelated picture about Rabbi Zacharias, if you don't know him, he was a well-respected, at one time, world Christian leader who was admired for his sharp mind and his gracious temperament. When he passed away in 2020, everyone was singing his praises. Months later, news came out that he was hiding a dark secret of being a sexual predator. And when that news came out, there were different responses. Right, someone had brushed it aside, someone to just really came very hard on what the tragedy, I think, of the whole Rabbi Zacharias is, ease in which persons can, or the ease in which we can hide our sinfulness, our addictions, but also what's telling about the arrogance and the naivety of many who actually condemned him. Paul reminds us, doesn't he? Reminds us that we are all susceptible to the same sin. It is only by the grace of God that we have are not where others have fallen into. And so that should therefore remind us of the need for humility and caution in the way we deal with things. But notice what Paul also goes on to say. He goes on to say, and it's a bit slow in my screen. In verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's who predicts it, right? It's not something that will happen overnight. It's not something that will happen easily. Rather, there is a need for us to go to give all sorts of pains to actually help the person out of their trouble. And so it tells us to carry each other's burdens. In other words, it's not a hit and run. It's not just to simply say that point and then walk away. We need to journey with the person. We need to help the person. When it talks about carrying each other's burden, it carries the idea of inconvenience, of something that will where we have to share their particular pain and their struggles in order to pull them out of their particular sin. And what this should help, what this should highlight for us is that growing in godliness and growing and dealing with sin is never just an isolation. It is a community effort, which is why we need to come to church. We don't just come to listen to the sermon and just say our prayers and just socialize. We come also to work, and we come to help each other grow in Christ. It's not just in isolation, but as a community experience. We are to carry each other's burdens. But not only that, he goes on to explain also about this whole idea of humility. You have a look at verses 3-5. If anyone thinks that they are something that they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves with someone, themselves to someone else. For each should carry their own load. Now, it's worth noting here, when Paul talks about load here, it's different to verse 2, which talks of burden. Burden is something that someone's carrying. It's too much for them. They need help. A load is just the language here of a backpack. Okay, I put on the backpack, that's a load. And the idea here is that we are accountable to God for our own actions. But the point here is that Paul is really asking us to have a sober judgment in the way we look at ourselves. We tend to assess ourselves by comparing ourselves to other people. Okay, I'm not as good as that person. I can't do as much as that person. So that means we think lower of ourselves, or I'm better than that person. We think high of ourselves. Paul says, no, the only comparison you need to make is with God. And we come to realize that when we compare ourselves to God, we realize that everything we have comes from God. All the success we have comes from God. The achievements we've made, the gifts that we have, our brains, everything comes from God. And when we measure ourselves against God and his greatness and his power, what do we come to realize? We realize that we are nothing. The true test, the measure of humility, learning true humility comes when we have true assessment of ourselves, and that only comes when we measure ourselves against God himself. So Paul here talks about restoring others caught in sin with gentleness and humility, learning to carry their burden. But also Paul goes on to say here that we are to share all good things with those who teach you. Have a look at what Paul says in verse 6. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Now, when you look at a passage like this, I have to say that when I have to speak on this sort of passage, it is quite awkward. Because you could say it's a conflict of interest, because it's speaking about how you guys need to care for me. Now, that's awkward itself. But there are two problems here. That there are two problems in the way we deal with this passage. On the one hand, we don't talk about the passages that are there in Scripture. And I think that's a danger not to talk about that for three reasons. One, because we're not teaching the full counsel of God. If it's in Scripture, we need to teach it. Two, if we don't talk about it, we're not instructing our congregation members in how to think about money. We do need to teach, we need to educate our members the Christian view about money. But thirdly, by not teaching this, we are really shortchanging all those in gospel ministry, not only here at CCC, but around the world. But the other danger is we talk too much about it, and that the only message that people ever hear from us is all they're thinking about is money. Well, we have to avoid two dangers, but it is what it is. The passage is there. I have to speak on it. So let me say a few things about this passage, and it comes under that sort of umbrella term of caring for others. We need to also learn how to care for those who teach us. Notice what Paul says here. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things. He's not actually talking about money here, actually, when you think about it. He's actually talking about all good things. In other words, as those who teach the word of God to you seek to bring God's blessings to you through the word of God, and you in turn will be blessed, God willing, then you also need to share the way God has blessed you with those who teach you. In that respect, it's more than just caring for them. Really behind this is the idea of mutual love and of partnership. We see this example in the book of Philippians, or the letter of Philippians, where Paul is thankful to the Philippians for their gifts to Paul. It's an expression of their partnership in the gospel. And that highlights an important thing, that the way we think about the messenger of the gospel reflects in what we think about the gospel itself. We're often told, don't suit the messenger. But the truth to be told that in Scripture, the messenger and the message go hand in hand. Your attitude to the message is reflected in your attitude to the messenger. And your attitude to the messenger, it reflects its attitude in the message. And so really, our attitude here and our willingness to share all good things with those who teach the gospel really is a reflection of what we think about the gospel itself. It is, in many ways, a real partnership that happens. And what Paul says, share all good things. Now, I'm actually very blessed to say that at CCC, over the years, the church has really learned how to share all good things with their pastoral team, with the pastors, and that's been a real blessing. But needs to be said that that's not true in so many churches around the world. Many churches around the world, the pastors are not truly cared for. I've done work in the Philippines regularly and speaking to one young pastor where he ministers to a church of businessmen who have big investors and very wealthy. But when you look at his living conditions, he was living in cockroach-infested rooms and not being paid enough to be able to sustain his family. So it's pretty sad. And the other thing here, the language here carries the idea that the pastor is not merely an employee. That is to say, here's your money, just do your job, and that's it. No, by sharing all good things carries the idea of a partnership. They're not just employees, they're partners in the work of the gospel. But that's the important thing to note here. So not only are we to restore those caught in sin with gentleness and humility, that's way of caring for each other, not only are we to share all good things with those who teach, but lastly, we are to show joyful persistence in doing good. Joyful persistence in doing good. Notice what Paul says here in verse 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, the important thing Paul wants to say here is that what you do does matter and it has consequences. It was the devil's lie that said at the very beginning, just eat the fruit and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God and there are no consequences. That is the devil's lie. Anyone who indulges in their unselfish and sinful nature will bring ruin and destruction upon themselves. If not immediately, certainly in time. And that needs to be said. It needs to be explained to people. You cannot go on thinking that just by doing this, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does bring consequences. On the flip side, those who seek to please the Spirit, who keep in step with the Spirit, growing in love, peace, patience, kindness, what will they reap? Eternal life. And they reap a blessing, not only this life, but the life to come. In long short of it, is there that what you do, but both good or bad, does carry certain consequences. And that's important to note here, right? It's important to note. But notice what else Paul goes on to say. He goes on to say here that not only we have to do good, but we are to keep doing good and don't tire of it. Look at what Paul says in verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. In other words, don't do good begrudgingly. Don't ever tire of doing good. The idea here is do good joyfully and with love. Not because you have to, but because you want to and you choose to. Don't become weary in doing good. Now, let's face it, right? I don't know about you, but I'm sure it's true. It's hard to do good, but it's hard to keep doing good. It's hard to do that, isn't it? Oftentimes, we give so much to people and they're ungrateful. Oftentimes, we serve and we help others, but oftentimes we get very little acknowledgement from them. Oftentimes, we serve, it seems to bear so little fruit. And often, good that we do can be so quick undone. You know, it's interesting. I think it was John Piper who once said, not in so many words, that when we're looking for leaders these days, the big language is strategy, visionary, entrepreneurial. But the one thing that's lacking in today's leaders, which is being echoed for many leaders today, is a lack of joyful persistence in doing good. At the first sign of trouble, the first sign of difficulty, people just pack up and leave. And Paul says, no, don't weary in doing good. Don't tire. Even if the person's ungrateful, even if there's little fruit, keep it up. But Paul wants to go further than that. Look at what he says there. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. In other words, he wants to go further. Don't just be negative. Don't just be passive. You keep persevering. But even look for the opportunities. As we have opportunity, and I tell you, there's a lot of opportunities, then do good. Do good. Now, let me ask you, where's the good place to start? You know where the good place to start? It's church. So we come to church, not just to hear the sermon, you know, average oftentimes, but we actually come to church to do good. We come to church to do good. We come to church to serve each other, to build each other, to actually restore those who are caught in sin. We come to church to be able to carry each other's burden. See, the one thing you can't do at church, which you can do on YouTube, is to listen to sermon. Did I say that right? I think I said that right. The one thing you can't do at church, which you can do, is that you can listen to sermon. I think I said that right. We come to church to serve each other. Now, it needs to be said, a lot of times people complain that they don't get a lot out of church. And I actually want to say that one of the greatest blessings you can have in coming to church is the opportunity to bless others. Paul once said this in his farewell speech to the elders of the church of Ephesus. He said that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now you think about that. It's true in our experience. Who are the people that's very hard to just sit with and be with? It's those people who often complain, who always wants more and more and more, who are never content. You come across people like that. We ourselves sometimes like that. And actually, it's not pleasant to be with such people. But who are the people that we like to hang around with? Those who are generous in nature, those who are kind, those who actually want to think about how to serve others. They are the sorts of people we like to be around. And you know the funny thing? Those people often are the happiest as well. There's a joy and a vibrancy when you have the opportunity to serve others, not because you have to, but because you want to. Paul says here, it's more blessed to give than it's to receive. In another letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says this, be rich in good deeds and be willing to share. Be rich in good deeds and be willing to share. I don't know, when people look at you, what do they see you? What is the defining mark? What's the defining characteristic that describes you when other people look at you? Is it the fact that you're rich in good deeds and you're willing to share? Is that the thing? True. Notice what he says in verse 10, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There is a priority that we give to Christian believers, not exclusively, but a priority. Now, it's understandable in the ancient world that that's your priority. Why is that? Because the Christians would be the ones who are persecuted, be marginalized and neglected. And so, therefore, there's a priority that we have to care for our own, that is believers. And it's interesting what Jesus said. It's by your love for who? Not others, but for each other. It's your love for each other that the world would know that you're my disciples. It's the way we care for each other. And there's a truth here, even just in normal experience. There's a priority that we have to care for our own family members, you know. My priority is to care for my wife. My priority is to care for my own kids and so on and so forth, right? Before we learn to care for other people outside that. And it's true here. Because we're all family members in God's household, we have a priority to actually care for each other. And that, can I say, is not easy, because church is a community of sinful people who are selfish by nature. Nevertheless, we're called not to be weary in doing good deeds, rather to look for every opportunity to do good, especially to those in the household of believers. Joyful persistence in doing good is what Paul tells us. It's all about caring for others. It's all about caring for others is the main bulk of what Paul says. But it also goes on, wants to wrap up and take us back to what it's all about, back to the foundation. That it's about the cross of Christ. And Paul talks about boasting in the cross. And so he reads there in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You know, many churches have lost sight of this. Tragically, when you listen to their message, it's all about money, it's all about building, it's all about music, it's all about the particular gifts, it's all about our achievements, our strategies, etc. But really, at the end of the day, what is it all about? What is the message about? It is about the cross of Jesus. It is about his death. The death of Jesus is not just a symbol like you see in the back of my virtual screen that we just put on the building and then forget about. It is the very event that brings us together as believers. It's the event that restores us to God, that brings us new life. It's all about the cross. It's never about anything else. It's all about the cross. Everything else of the Christian faith flows out of this singular event, which is life-changing, eternally changing, the cross of Jesus. And so Paul wants to say it's all about the cross of Christ. And nothing more. But it's all about the cross of Christ. It's also about what else? About transformed lives. Look at what Paul says. He talks about the new creation. in verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything. What counts is the new creation. Notice Paul's words here. He is not just saying neither circumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. He doesn't just say that. He says neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. In other words, it doesn't matter. You know, he's been very big against the circumcision party, trying to insist that people get circumcised in order to get eternal life. And Paul says, no, that's wrong. But Paul also wants to make sure that he protects about the other side. Even if you're not uncircumcised, that doesn't matter. The danger for so many Christians these days is that we're anti everything. We're not sure what we stand for. We're anti-building, and some are saying that's all that people can tell. We're anti-building. We're anti-music. Yes, it's not all about music, but we're so not against music. Not want to make sure that we're not against anti-music that it becomes nothing else. We're only anti. Paul wants to say it's not about circumcision. It's not about uncircumcision. What is it about? It's about the cross that brings about what? The new creation. A new creation that is empowered by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And you know the funny thing here? I see that transforming work and the seeds of new creation in our church all the time. You know, people have complained about our church. 50 years I've heard so many complaints. They complain about the building, endless complaints of building. People complain, endless complaints about the governance of our church. Fine, I get that. People complain about our programs, the fact that we don't vision our strategies, our parking. They complain about everything. But really, it's not about that, is it? It's about the new creation. It's about the new creation. And every time I come to church, I'm always excited. Not because of the new renovation thing, but I'm excited because I see the seeds of new creation taking place everywhere around me. When I talk to a person, I see them struggling in a good way, wanting to grow. That for me is a demonstration of the new creative work of the Spirit. When I say a person wanting to find more about Christianity, that for me is the Spirit working in that person to bring new life. When I see a person wanting to talk to their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their husband, their wife, their kids, trying to think through how they can grow them as Christians, that for me are the seeds of the new creative work of the Spirit. And that is happening all around the church at CCC and indeed churches throughout the world. So, you know, when you think about it, what is it all about? Well, like I said, the danger for many of us is that we allow these barnacles to actually take hold in our church and we begin to lose sight of what it's about. We begin to think it's all about the buildings, all about the rituals, all about the sort of the decorations and all about, you know, the symbols. But what is it all about? Well, going back, it's really about the cross, isn't it? About the grace of God, demonstrating the cross in the transforming power of the work of the Spirit. And as Paul wraps up this letter to the Galatians, he wants us to take us back to the very heart of it. The grace, the cross, and the transformation, the transforming work of the Spirit. So this is really where we got to sort of wrap up on. The challenge for us is to care for each other. Galatians is about the way we care for each other. We need to talk about our determination, keep proclaiming Christ crucified. Talk about our joy in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform lives. Let me wrap up with a few questions for us to consider. There's a lot of questions. Is there anyone in sin that you need to restore? Where are the opportunities you can do more good than before? Is there anyone who has a burden you need to help carry? How can you refocus on the cross of Christ? Are you rejoicing in the transforming work of the Holy Spirit all around you? Let me close in prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for your incredible grace demonstrated in the cross of Christ, seen in the transforming work of the Spirit as we seek to care for each other. So, Father, we do pray Help us to truly care for each other. Help us to help those addicted to sin, caught in sin. Help us to find opportunities to serve others. In all things, help us not to lose sight of that, the foundation of it all, the cross of Jesus and the transforming work of the Spirit in our lives by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me hand it back to Mika and Bianca.
Let's continue to give God thanks for everything he's done for us, especially during lockdown. Let's continue to think of ways and opportunities we can serve each other and look after people in our community and show that people are loved and cared for. All right, please sing with us.
Friends, let's pray. Lord God, as we've just heard and now just sung, help us to live by your word. Help us to serve each other's needs. And help us to show the love that you've shown to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we've heard God's word. We've responded to God's word in song. Now we're going to reflect and discuss God's word together in breakout rooms, in the pursuit of growing together and in direct application from what we've just heard to serve each other in love. And so let's talk through some of the ideas from tonight's sermon. And in particular, given that we're wrapping up our time in Galatians, let's focus on what applications we can take from tonight. So reflect upon those questions that Ying has put in the chat on your own. But as we talk now, to help you along, here's a question that Ying has posed for us to reflect upon. What is one thing you can do to serve another person in love each Sunday? How can you love, how can you serve or care for someone here during service each Sunday or even during the week? Is there a brother or a sister that you might need to gently restore? And especially during our isolation and separation for potentially much longer, how can you go and serve someone in love because of the love that's been shown to you? As we've just sung together, by the grace of God, we are all one in Jesus Christ. So how can we go about serving one another in love? Let me encourage you to think and discuss about that. Now, if you are new here or visiting, you might not necessarily have a take-home point or be able to answer some of those questions, and that's totally okay. Let me encourage you to still be a part of the discussion. Perhaps you might have some thoughts over other questions or the overall message. It might be about the difference between the flesh or the spirit or the idea of reaping a harvest or what it means to be one in Jesus Christ. There's plenty of things to talk about. So let me encourage you to ask those questions and to share about those things instead. And as we break out, let me encourage you to say hi, get to know the people in your groups. If you don't know them already, get in there, break the awkward silences, and please do talk through your thoughts and challenges from the sermon. The questions are in the chat box and we'll come back in 10 minutes. Well, everyone, I hope you had good chats. Let's close our discussions in prayer. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray together to you now. We thank you for the grace that you've shown to us by giving us your Son, that we might be able to have a relationship with you. Help us to continue to think about ways to serve one another in love, to care for one another in love. Help us to not grow weary in doing so. Give us the perseverance and the everlasting joy that comes from the love that you've shown to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, as we continue to think about serving others in love, we're going to hear a mission update from John and Beck, and Alex is going to lead us in that.
Hey, 4 p.m. My name is Alex here, for those of you who don't know me. One of the things I've found that's quite hard during this lockdown is, you know, thinking about things outside of my immediate context. However, you know, our God works, continues to work in the lives of people throughout the world in this time, and continues to provide opportunities for the good news of Jesus to transform people's lives. As a church community that aims to continue to reach the world, we have an opportunity now to think, hear, and pray about how God is working in East Asia, and also an update on John and Beck, as Ed said, which is a family we support at CCC. First of all, we'll be seeing a video about someone's story from Asia to help us understand the challenges and opportunities there are in places like this. Thanks, AV team.
In China, it is normal to try hard to be successful, to do better than others, to get a better life. When growing up and studying in China, I really cared about this, to get money, get a good job. But deep in my heart, I knew I felt empty. Money and materialism just doesn't seem enough. I wanted to know the true meaning and purpose for my life. I had a chance to study engineering at a university in America. The people I met, they were like me, intellectual, smart people. But in other ways, they were different. They had friendships which seemed close, warm, like they were family. And I wanted to know more. I talked to these new friends about religion, science, and evolution. And even though I hadn't even read the Bible then, these relationships opened a door for me. These guys were intellectuals like me, but they were also Christians. So I joined church life while I was in America. They walked with me and told me about Jesus. They made me feel close, warm, like family. That year, I decided to give my life to Christ. 4 out of 5 people that become believers abroad fall away when they come back to China. Gratefully, even though I wasn't very equipped, I had a good environment to keep growing as a believer. A believer from overseas walked with me and helped build my foundation. Step by step, I grew in faith. After my studies, I was offered a very good job, great pay, and exactly in my field of study. I knew, though, that if I choose this job, I may need to move away and would probably have an unstable church and family life. So I didn't take this job. Instead, went for a job with half the pay. People thought I was crazy, but I had peace about my decision. The life now wasn't about money and success. As we keep trying to grow here in China as believers, keep trying to make disciples, please remember us here. It is a hard calling for our church leaders. The church can't pay them much, and they spend a lot of time and energy at the church. There is also growing pressure to conform or otherwise worship in secret. So please pray for them. Pray for the church. Pray for us.
Thanks, AV team. This is just one of the stories of how God is working in the lives of someone who is living in Asia and the challenges they're facing as Christians. As we saw, there is a great need for people to be supported and encouraged in their walk with God, especially for young professionals that have come back to their home country. I'm just going to try and share screen if that's okay. So one of the families that we support at CCC live in a place similar to this video in East Asia. Over this year, we have heard about the missionary families that we support at church. And today we'll be hearing about an update from John Beck, Charlotte and Lucas. So John and Beck are a married couple. Unfortunately, I can't put a photo of them, but they were once part of 4PM Church many years ago. And they used to work in Sydney in the finance industry until through much prayer and thinking, John went to Bible College and the church sent them to live and serve in East Asia. Now, this was about 10 years ago now. And now they have two kids named Charlotte, who is finishing seventh grade, and Lucas, who is graduating primary school. Now, some of you may have met them as they've come back to Sydney a few times now and again. So for those of you who don't know them, they are currently living there in East Asia with the aim of sharing their lives and the good news of Jesus with those around them. They're currently running a business to equip young professionals in the marketplace and also recently started running well-being programs for the community, especially in this difficult time. All these programs or marketplace ministries are ways for them to live and build relationships with the community and for opportunities to share their faith. John and Beck also disciple a few believers and help encourage and equip them in their faith, and also help to support churches over there as well. Recently, John has had some health issues, but thanks to answered prayers and the help of medical support, things are looking a bit better. And they are currently in the process of continuing to run these programs. So they recently ran two well-being programs as well. Now, sometimes we can feel helpless in not being able to reach others in these areas, especially with the restrictions around travel around the world. But, you know, God has placed us as part of a body of believers. And one of the most helpful ways we can be partnering with God in their work is actually through prayer. So I'm going to spend some time now just leading us in prayer. So please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God who created the world and everyone in it. Thank you for saving us through Christ and providing us a way to be right with you. Lord, thank you for providing for John and Beck's family. Thank you that despite certain challenges that you have allowed them to continue to live and serve in East Asia. We ask that you continue to be strengthening them to continue to live for you amongst the many people who do not know you. Firstly, we pray in thanks for answering prayers and helping John with his health problems and providing him with appropriate medical support. May you continue to help him regain strength and have a swift recovery. We pray for the two well-being programs that have been run that you have provided opportunities in providing care for the community, as well as ways that relationships can be built. Lord, may you be opening up ways that they can share their faith and point people to the grace found in Christ. We also pray that you will give them wisdom in exploring various other ministry partnerships with churches, looking to equip Christian young professionals in the marketplace. In terms of the business platform, help them in the transition of the changing ownership structures. We pray for their family. We ask that you keep them safe and united as a family, that they may shine brightly for you in the place they are living and continue to be grounded in your word. Please protect them from the evil one's attacks. Finally, we pray for East Asia. We pray for the young professionals who do not know you. We pray that they would come to see the fleetingness of the pursuit of success and turn to the truth of the gospel. We pray for the Christians that they will continue to grow in maturity and stand firm in the hope that they have in you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Now I'm just going to pass it to Ying to run through some church news. Thanks, Ying.
Thanks. Alex. And it's great to hear that sort of update about what's going on overseas. Church news, I want to say, is actually quite an important part of our church, our meeting, because it's not just an advertisement about what's going on. It's also to keep you updated about what's going on in our church and the great things that God is doing in our church. And it's good to hear that update about what's going on in East Asia. But there's some other good things that I want to highlight for you, some great events. We want you to partner with us. As you know, for the last so many months, we've been asking you to be praying for your non-Christian friends, our church friends. And also, there is a special event coming up next Sunday. Let's have that slide, the first one. It's Evangelism Sunday, and what that means, it's an opportunity, it's a guest service, it's an opportunity to bring your friends and your family to this Sunday service where, you know, we will have my friend Nam Duan, who's going to be speaking the gospel to them. The topic is, what evidence do you need to believe in Jesus? A big question. And as you know, we've been advertising for a number of weeks now. Well, next Sunday is it. But we're going to do next Sunday quite differently. Next slide. No, previous to that one. Okay, that slide's not in. But next Sunday, what's going to happen is they're not going to have three services, not nine, not 11, and not four. We're going to actually have one service at 10:30 next Sunday morning, 10:30 next Sunday morning. And why is that? Well, our big catchphrase is, preaching the gospel by everyone to anyone. You see, it's an opportunity where we can bring the different people, where people can be bringing anyone to this particular service. Now, think about how it might work. We have the people at 9:15 service. They have nieces and nephews and sons and daughters. Instead of asking them to come to the 4 p.m. service, they can come to this one service at 10:30. By the same token, we have people here at 4 p.m. who have unbelieving parents and aunties and uncles. So instead of asking them to come to this service at 4 p.m., bring them to that 10:30 service, because it's a opportunity where everyone can be reaching anyone. So that's a great time for us to be bringing the gospel to anyone. So I want to emphasize it's 10:30, no 9:15, no 11, and no 4 p.m. And obviously, because it's on Zoom, and we're going to fix up the link, so all you have to do is press one link to go to our 10:30 service, then it makes it so much easier. And what greater time to invite your friends than to our 10:30 service next Sunday, bringing the gospel from everyone to anyone, okay? Now, we understand that a 30-minute service and one service, maybe I just might just skin the service, what, plant seeds. So we want to also invite them to our course. Next slide. Our Investigating Christianity course. It might prompt questions in people's minds. They want to explore further. They want to investigate, dive deeper into the claims of Jesus. So this is a great course that we would like to invite them to, Investigating Christianity. It's a course that's been running for many, many years now. It's a three-week course. Normally it's a four-week course, but it's been shrunk down to 3 weeks. And it's a great opportunity not only to investigate Christianity more deeply, but also to build relationships with other people who are thinking and journeying on the same path to try and understand more about Christianity. Now, at the moment, we're hoping to do it physically, but that more than likely it's going to be on Zoom. But anyway, stay updated with more details. Okay, so Investigating Christianity. But not only do we want our people to be investigating Christianity, we want to actually be growing people as well. So we have a very important conference coming up that we would like everyone to be part of. It's called One Love. Let's have a look, One Love. Now, for the ladies here, they've just had the Equip conference, and that was a great conference. But we also have another opportunity to continue to grow our lady, our sisters in Christ here. And the topic is made for more created for holiness. And like Equip, this is going to be a Zoom hub where we are encouraging the women to come together at CCC and to Zoom into the live conference. And the great opportunity is not only to learn from the speakers, but also to learn from each other and to encourage each other from all the different congregations. So there'll be 9, 15, 11, 15. Plus, we also know from people from the Cantonese and Mandarin. So it's a great opportunity when we come together, commune, to encourage each other and to serve each other in love. So, but this is a good opportunity, not only for the sisters here, the ladies here at CCC, but it's an opportunity that you can be inviting your unchurched friends, because these talks generally have been pretty good overall, and it's an opportunity to introduce them to what Christianity is all about and what God has to say about how God has created women. But it's not just for women. There's also something for men, and I'm going to hand it over to Justin to tell us about Basecamp. Justin, over to you.
Thanks, Ying. I'm not sure how to spotlight myself for some reason. It's a good sign that I'm on AV. Oh, thank you very much. All right. So yeah, thanks, Ying. As Ying mentioned, there is a conference for the gents, and it is on the 14th of August. So I think just a week before the ladies' conference. If you're unfamiliar again with what Basecamp is, it's an annual conference where ordinarily we'd come together at some sort of venue to listen to a few guest speakers talk about a particular topic. Encouraging one another and be challenged as a group. The theme for this year is Unbound, to love God and others. And the current plan is to meet at the CCC Hall together and watch the live stream together. The rego form is there on the screen for you. So if you've got your phone on you, which I know most of you do, scan the code and get signing up. Otherwise, you will be hearing from me or Obed chasing you up. So yeah, obviously the big question on everyone's minds right now is whether we will be able to meet in person. But as the wise Nick Fury once said, until such time as the world ends, we will act as though it intends to spin on. So until further notice, the plan is to meet in person at CCC. So for the gents, a few things you need to do, obviously sign up. If you have any trouble paying the fees, please let me know and we can help you out there. And the girls as well. You thought this message wasn't for you, but is also for you. We'd like you to get involved in two ways. Firstly, if you can please encourage your guy friends around you to sign up and get involved. But also, we would like to ask for some volunteers on the day. So in the event that we do meet in person, we'd like to get some volunteers to help us out, mainly with preparing food. We got a couple of guys from the 11:15 service preparing a little barbecue, but we need some hands to help out. So it'd be great. If you're willing to help out on the day, please reach out to me and let me know. If you don't know how to get in touch with me, I'm going to be putting a Facebook post up on the 4 p.m. page later, so you can just shoot me a message there. But get keen, get involved. If anyone has any questions, let me know. And hope to see you there. Handing back to Ying.
Thanks a lot. There was a great announcement at Basecamp at 11:15. He basically said for the women to sign up the men even before they know it. So maybe what we could do is all the wives to sign your husbands up before they know it. It'll be an investment to you. You'll love them, or you'll love them for it. Okay. But as you know, we have Hang with Dan is our last update, right? Now, I've been very privileged by God's grace to have two great, awesome colleagues, Winston and Dan. You all know me. You've got to know me over many years. I don't think you need to get to know me anymore. You know all my quirks. I think you've sort of got to know Winston, because Winston's been able to come to our evening service and Winston's been able to join us at sort of church dinner. So you got to know Winston a bit. The FY leaders know him. So I think generally people like know Winston. Right. But the one person who's often left on the lurch is Dan. Dan doesn't have the opportunity to get to know, or you to get to know Dan. So we actually want to have this hang with Dan. As you know, it's 2:00 to 3:00, but that's been on limbo at the moment. So just stay tuned for that. When we know further details, we will let you know about it. But it will be a great time to get to know the number three of the Trinity, of the three English pastors, Dan. Okay. Without further ado, I'm going to hand it back to Ed. Sorry, I get the two kids. Back to you, Ed.
Okay. Thanks, Ying, for sharing the church news and keeping us to date with what's happening at church. Friends, as we come to a close for today's service, I hope that you've been challenged and encouraged by God's word today. This series in Galatians has taught and reminded us of many things, but of first importance, it's taught us the grace of our God through the cross of Christ and how that transforms us, how the Spirit works in us to give thanks for what he's done and to serve one another in love. Let me encourage you all to continue to dwell and reflect upon this amazing grace from God and how you can be serving others in love and to commit yourself to putting it to action this week. Well, friends, that does bring us to the end of tonight's service, but not the end of our time together as a community. So please stick around. This Zoom meeting will stay open for us to hang out, to chill and talk with one another. But for now, have a great week and serve each other in love. And we'll see you here next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for the evangelistic service. Thanks, everyone.